Before we begin our Torah study, would you pray together with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We've been talking about breakthroughs, we've been talking about opportunities, and tonight I want to talk to you about those times when it seems that we take two steps forward and then one step backward. How many of you can relate to those situations? I don't actually want to talk to you about how we do that so often, two steps forward, one step backwards. I want to talk to you about something related to it, how you can take two steps forward and then another step forward. This week's Torah reading brings this into focus together with the reading for next week. It presents the two steps forward. And then next week's Torah reading brings into focus how Israel had to avoid taking a step backwards after that. And so when you read this week and then you read next week, I want you to join them together and think about the idea of two steps forward and then another step forward. So we need to anticipate the possibility of setbacks. And we need to ask the question, how can we avoid setbacks? That's one of the keys to taking two steps forward and then one step forward after that. And this week we read about the dramatic time that led up to the Exodus. Israel's finally let go by Pharaoh in Egypt. Shalach et ami. Say that with me. Shalach et ami. Let my people go. That's how we normally translate it. I think it's better, send my people out. You see, God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, Shalach et ami. Send my people out so that they can serve me. They can worship me. And we read this week about what became the first ever Passover, or Pesach. The night of the 10th plague is described when Israel took the blood of the lamb, applied it to the doorposts of their homes, and this was a sign of their faith and their obedience to God's instruction. And it was on that night that the Lord moved throughout the land, but so did the angel of death. And you'll often see that when God is moving, the enemy wants to move too. When God is moving to bring breakthroughs, the enemy is moving to bring destruction. So you have to be prepared for that. That's part of spiritual warfare. It's part of real life. And if you don't know about it, then when the enemy comes to plunder you, you'll be a victim of his. Well, the children of Israel took the blood of the lamb, they applied it to the doorposts of their house, and that night the Lord moved throughout the land, and so did the angel of death. But whenever the Lord saw that there was blood on the doorposts of a home, he stood guard over the house, and he stopped the angel of death, the destroyer, from coming in and from killing the firstborn son of that household. You see, that was the 10th plague, that there would be death of the firstborn in every household that wasn't protected. Now, many times when we hear the word in English, Passover, we think that means to skip, like the angel of death skipped that house. That's not what it means. The one who passed over was the Lord. And Passover in Hebrew means to skip like a lamb does, bouncing through a field and coming to a place. So it's almost as if there was a lamb who was sacrificed, but there was another lamb in the land that night, the Lamb of God, the Lord himself. And he was bouncing through the land looking for the blood of the lamb, of regular lambs that had been put on the doorpost. And he moved in protection for the children of Israel. This is so important because this was the means by which Israel was spared, but those who were not faithful to God and those who were not obedient to God suffered. This was the time when Pharaoh lost his firstborn son and sent Israel out in desperation. He was so torn by the loss that he realized that he had been defeated, that he had to respond to God's command to shalach et ami, to send my people out, to let my people go. Now, also this week, we read about the importance of teaching our own children about the events that evening and in the days that followed, so that we ourselves would learn about what God did for us back then. Now, that might sound a little bit strange to you. You might say, well, I don't think God did anything for me back then. He does stuff for me now, but I wasn't even alive back then. Well, I want to compare it to something. If you believe that Yeshua is your atoning sacrifice, do you know that he died several thousand years ago? Would you call that back then? Did he do something for you back then? So you know God, who does things back then, blesses you now, right? So if the children of Israel had not been delivered out of slavery, where would the Jewish people be today? In the suburbs of Cairo or somewhere, building pyramids or who knows what. Who knows what our destiny would have been? It was God's plan to bring us out of Egypt. And so everyone who's been blessed by Israel, by the Jewish people, and by the Messiah of Israel, has the responsibility to look back on the Passover as if it was done for you. And then to learn about it in such a way that you can teach your children as you celebrate. It's not enough to know about it up here. It's important to celebrate Pesach yourself. And in the celebration, you will discover that your children, your grandchildren will say, well, why do we do this? And if you go, I don't know. Or you say, well, it's tradition. That will not be an adequate way of teaching your children. So we read this week that it's really important to teach your children. And in order to do that, you've got to get a hold of it for yourself. We learned about the matzah, the bitter herbs, the lamb, the Passover meal. And it was during this first Passover that Israel was set free from slavery in Egypt. For sure, being sent out of slavery and being sent out of Egypt, that's two steps forward. Would you agree? Yeah? Two steps forward? Maybe even more than two steps. How many of you remember the game, Mother May I? And who had the favorite, you know, I want to take giant steps? And who liked baby steps? Anybody here? Nobody. You always wanted the giant steps, right? Where you could go as far as you possibly could. Two steps forward. Two steps forward, but that wasn't the end of the matter. In fact, there was the possibility of a setback, even a really big setback that the Lord was aware of. It wouldn't be just one step back, though. It would be all the way back into slavery. And so next week when you read in Exodus 13, starting in verse 17, we'll actually look at that tonight, you will see what the danger was. We're going to explore some of that because it's important to see the story here. In fact, why don't you turn to Exodus 13 right now, chapter 13, verse 17. This is not in this week's reading, it's next week's reading, but I want you to tie together what you read about this week with next week so you can get this picture. Starting in verse 17, it came to pass then, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead the children of Israel by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was close, it was near. You could say it was the shortcut. But God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So the Lord knew that there was a setback that was looming. If Israel took the route through the land of the Philistines, it could actually cause a setback. Now, what would they experience if they went that way, according to this text? War. They'd experience war, and they weren't ready for war. They had been slaves. They had not had the responsibility to have armies or to fight. And how would this cause the setback? What does it say? How would seeing war affect them? It changed their minds. Changed their minds. And what would that lead to? Retreat, returning to Egypt. So the Lord understands there's a short way to get there, but it's not a safe way. And if Israel goes that short way, they're going to see war when they're not ready. They are going to have a change of mind. And often when you have a change of mind, you have a change of heart. They go together. And then they'll return to Egypt. And back in Egypt, what will happen? Slavery. Right. So the whole breakthrough to get Israel out will be lost and reversed. And only one thing has to happen. They take the wrong route out of town. That's it. The wrong route. Now, this is not obvious to everyone. This is not the military leaders of Israel saying we need to do it this way. This is God seeing ahead and understanding the condition of the people and being a good leader of his own people. And so God says to Israel, we got to go this way, not that other way. God knew it would be too much for the people because they would be vulnerable to a setback. And the setback would take them back to Egypt, back to slavery. You see, if they went the faster way, they would give up. They weren't spiritually strong enough to go in that direction and to go that route. And so God led the people the long way to the wilderness. Now, some people surely thought that the long way was the wrong way. In fact, a lot of us think that way in our own lives. If something's not going the way we want it to and the speed we want it to, we think it's taking too long. Can you relate to that? And we have this idea, it's the long way, it's the wrong way. We should go this way, not that way. But we don't always understand what God understands. I want to encourage you, there will be times when God knows that if you get what you want the way you want it, you're going to get a setback that will take you into defeat. And you're thinking the problem's with God. God, why? And he says, why? Because I'm protecting you. Why? Because I see what you don't see. Why? Because I know what you don't know. Why? Because I want you to take a step forward and then another step forward. Verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones from here with you. So Joseph had died all those centuries before, and he had extracted a promise from those Israelites alive at this time. When God visits you and he takes you out of Egypt, you got to take my bones with you. Do not leave my bones in Egypt. And of course, that doesn't make any sense unless you understand resurrection. That God is the God of resurrection. And Joseph was saying, I want to be resurrected to the promised land. I don't want to be left behind. I've already been left behind once. Don't want to do it again. Verse 20. So they took the journey from Sukkot and camped in Etam at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So this also helps enlighten us. The Lord goes before them. He leads them day and night, giving leadership in every circumstance and condition. Now, next week, you'll be reading about how the Egyptians came after Israel, how Israel was trapped at the Red Sea, and how it looked like a setback, but it wasn't. This is what I want you to anticipate. As you read this week's portion, you'll see Israel's going out. That's very exciting, right? And whenever we take steps forward, whenever we have a breakthrough, we go, hallelujah. And we don't think necessarily about what's next after that. But God does. And he wants to train us to see what's going to happen, at least to pay attention to what he reveals to us. So it looked like a setback, but it wasn't. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to remember there really was a setback that was looming. And what was the cause of that setback? Going the fast way. Now, I believe that God has perfect timing. I believe that God can work quickly, but he doesn't always work quickly. I believe he can work slowly, but he doesn't always work slowly. Sometimes I'm just amazed, why did God take 7 days to make, you know, the world? You know, he could have done it in a split second, right? But he laid foundation upon foundation for a purpose. If Israel took the fast way, it would have meant defeat, spiritual defeat, losing heart, giving up, going back. It would have ended the breakthrough. Some of you are moving into new opportunities, and you're wanting to go fast, high speed all the time, but God's putting a speed limit on you, and he wants you to observe the speed limit. He's causing you to have to go a longer way around than you want to, but it's for a purpose. Remember, what looked like the real setback wasn't really the setback. The plan of God was to take Israel on a course where there wasn't going to be a real setback. However, as you read next week, that was a challenging situation, right? To go out and then to go to, on a course where you can't cross over the water boundary, and then you're trapped when the enemy comes. That sounds just terrible, doesn't it? And how many of you are glad that they made it through? And how many of you are glad you weren't there? Right? Glad they went through it. This was a time for Israel to learn to take 2 steps forward and then another step forward. Israel had to learn to trust God as he led them forward and to keep a kadima perspective. Let's just say that word, kadima. It's an important word, kadima, forward, charge. Israel had to take a stand. And what was the stand that Israel had to take? To trust God. To keep moving forward, to not give up. Some people look like they're moving forward, but in their hearts and in their minds, they've already given up, and they've already surrendered, and they're just looking for the opportunity to wave the flag of surrender. And so as soon as there's the difficulty, they say, I knew it, I knew it, I give up. And if you're one of those people, I would say, 2014 needs to toughen you up so that you don't give up so quickly. If you're carrying around surrender in your heart, surrender to circumstances and to difficulties, this beginning of the year is a good time to get purged of that and cleaned of it. If you're just waiting for the opportunity to surrender, it's a warning sign. You see, inwardly, there were people who wanted to go back. They wanted to return to what was familiar and what seemed to them safer, even though it wasn't safe at all and even though it provided no real future for them. So let me ask you a question. Did God bring Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, and out of Pharaoh's control just so that Israel could die in the wilderness? You sure? You're really sure? Okay, so when God gives you a breakthrough, can you think that way about yourself? God put you into a situation where you need the breakthrough, and then he gives you the breakthrough, and you're happy, and then you've got another challenge. And do you think God just wants you to lose on the second challenge? Do you think he just wants you to give up? But what if the second challenge is hard? So what? I like that. So what if it's hard? The challenge is something that God wants to help you with. Did God bring you this far just so you can die too? You know, there are people, they have so little reserve of hope and of courage that whenever they face a difficulty, they're at the end already. They've emptied themselves. They have nothing in reserves. That's why it's important every week, build up your hope, build up your courage, build up your faith, build up your joy. Some people try to do that only when they're already in deep trouble, when they're already depressed and they're already miserable, they're already medicated and they're already feeling despair, and they say, oh, I need hope. But by then, sometimes it's too late. And it's not that you can never get it, but you may not get it quickly when you need it. That's why you want to keep on top of your own reserves and make sure that you know, are you living with hope and with expectation and with courage? Because it takes courage. You know, I link these. I link faith, hope, courage together, because it takes all three of them. If any one of them weakens, it'll affect the others. When your courage gives up, your hope will too, and your faith will too. When your courage is strong, your hope will be strong, and your faith can be strong. They each reinforce each other. They're connected to each other. So we can see clearly that God did not bring Israel out in order for her to die in the wilderness. But we're tempted by that sometimes. We're not tempted to think he's doing that to them. We're tempted to think he's doing it to us. Correct? Or to those we love. This is actually part of the spiritual battle. And we need to remember where we're headed. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. We have to be ready to take a stand. And when you take that stand, the Kadima stand, the forward stand, when you allow the Lord to lead you forward even through threatening circumstances, you actually will move forward. And you'll experience favor and grace and the power of God moving on your behalf. When you say, I am moving forward, God will help you move forward. And when you throw up your arms and say, I give up, you may be putting yourself in a situation where you start losing already. You have to move forward in the Lord. You have to follow God's leadership. Now, I want to share with you a story. This week I heard from one of the men in the congregation. I haven't cleared all the details, so I'm not going to tell you who he is yet. But he shared a great experience with me. He works for a contractor. And the contractor had taken a job, and our guy was supposed to work on that job. But there was one problem. You know what the job was? It was building out a strip club. Yeah. Now, here's another part of the problem. The contractor who took that job is a believer. Okay, for some reason, he was ready to do the job, and he brought our guy out to the job, and our guy met the owner and the other tradesmen who would be building out the strip club. And so our guy says, I'm not comfortable doing any work here. And he says, I can't put myself in that environment after we as a synagogue just stood against the gentleman's club trying to open up just down the street from our sanctuary. Doesn't seem right, does it? He says, doesn't seem right to have a victory in that and then to give myself to this. And so the contractor, our guy says, was a little upset with me. But he understood. Now, just the other day, the contractor said, if we get offered another strip club project, he would turn it down if it meant not having me able to work on it. So you know what? That's going to bless that contractor. It's going to bless his family to not do that kind of work, to take a stand himself. Do you see it? Now, of course, people will compromise. They'll say, yeah, but I need the money. Or it must have been the Lord who gave me this strip club job. I don't think so. That is not good thinking, is it? And, of course, it's easier to see it in somebody else's extreme situation than it is in our own life in a less extreme situation. But our guy wrote, thank you to me for your strength in standing against those types of spiritual battles and for giving others strength to do the same. Love you and thank you. Isn't that a great testimony? Two steps forward could have become a step back and even worse. Not this time. Two steps forward, then another step forward. You see, by taking a stand, he moved forward. Do you see it? Do you see the victory that he got? And not only that, but his courage gave courage to the other guy who hadn't had it. His standing on a principle of integrity gave motivation to another believer who lacked in some way. I don't know all the details. I just have a little bit. But I want to tell you this. Don't give up, friends. Don't give up just because you find yourself in a situation that others want to use to bring you into compromise or into defeat. Don't give up and don't say, well, it must be the Lord. No. Have discernment, have wisdom, and have integrity, and recognize that's not the Lord. The Lord's not trying to put you in that situation. He wants you to take a stand so that you come out of that situation and others do too. Imagine if all of Israel at the Red Sea, which you'll read about next week, they're all there, and they just have a little meeting and say, well, I guess it wasn't the Lord that we leave Egypt. Because if it was the Lord, we wouldn't be trapped like this. We wouldn't have this particular problem. It must be the Lord that we go back into slavery because you know what? We deserve it. That's what we need. That might have sounded logical to such people. The only problem is it's wrong. So logical doesn't necessarily mean right. You can be logical and completely wrong if you're logical but starting with the wrong assumptions and the wrong understandings, and then you build your case. Don't surrender to your circumstances. Don't sell out. Take your stand. Keep your eyes on the Lord and do your best to please him and make him proud. That's the better way. Be a God pleaser. Make God proud, and you will find great blessing. Well, we're beginning this year with an emphasis called Kadima 2014. We've moved forward in many ways in 2013, and we've had many breakthroughs and more to come, and we want to move forward even more in 2014. So during the coming weeks and months, we'll be talking a lot about Kadima 2014. We're going to be moving forward in our fellowship, in relationship building, in small groups. That's part of Kadima 2014. We're going to be moving forward in discipleship and pastoral care. That's another part of Kadima 2014. We're going to be moving forward in outreach and ministry to others and sharing the love of God and the good news of Yeshua. And that's another part of Kadima 2014. We're going to complete our community cafe and fellowship center. So we can move forward in fellowship, we can move forward in discipleship, and we can move forward in outreach. And so that's all part of Kadima 2014. And we know we're going to need generous support in order to do it. We know it's going to take 40 or 50,000 more to complete the cafe build out, to equip it, and to furnish it. And that's all part of Kadima 2014. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a rabbi friend of mine. They had a small sanctuary, and they need to enlarge it. And just doing a small amount of work in order to add a few dozen seats was going to cost them $60,000. Not a big congregation either. But they knew that they needed to do something about it, and he told me this great testimony. He said, we just talked to the congregation, and we said, if you'll Let us know what you want to do to contribute to that. In this case, they were doing pledges for a relatively short period of time. Then we can know whether we need to go fast, go slow, or find other ways. And in 3 weeks, they had $60,000 from their congregation. Isn't that a great testimony? So I know this, that in front of us is not the Red Sea. In front of us is Kadima 2014. You know, great breakthroughs, great progress. And also, we're going to be bringing, as we've told you, Rabbi Yuri Korshin and his wife, Ina, and their 10-year-old son, David, from Ukraine. They're going to be moving here to Jacksonville to live here, to work with Sandy and me and with you here at Beth Israel. And we've counted up how much it's going to cost for the airline tickets, the visas, getting them settled here, moving some of their household goods, and it's more than $10,000. So we know it's going to cost that. And that's part of Kadima 2014 too, because we know God wants us to move forward. So we're going to be telling you more about how you can give special offerings, and we're asking that they be above and beyond the tithe for a very simple reason. If all you do is take the tithes you were giving and you say, oh, don't use that for what you have been doing, we've been doing in the congregation, we're going to use it for this, we're not ahead. We're just in exactly the same place that we were. So in order to move forward, we need to be generous, and we need to find resources. Some of you have savings, inheritances. Some have bonuses and raises. Some of you, it can be easy, and for some it'll be a sacrifice. But I encourage every one of us to give and to make a commitment. We're going to tell you more about that in the weeks to come. And we're going to tell you about the online programming that we have in a few weeks that makes it even easier, because, you know, more and more people use less and less checks and cash. I don't know if that's true for you, but it's true, you know, in general. I almost never write checks by hand anymore. I do it through, you know, bill pay system and transfers and stuff like that. And of course, some of you love your checks. I encourage you, keep using those checks. They're working fine. But we have found some systems that work easily and enable you to give regularly how you want, and whether you want to give from a bank account, or you want to give from a debit card or a credit card, you know, and or if you want to give on the 11th and the 17th, you can do that. You can give, you know, pretty much easily however you want to in regular fashion. We'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. But I'm really excited. I believe that we're reading about the breakthroughs of Passover so that we're prepared for the breakthroughs of Passover when Passover comes. You understand we're reading about Pesach now, but it's not Passover now. How many of you got that? You already figured that out. Why are we reading ahead of time? Doesn't everybody know the holidays later? Yes. This is so that you're ready for the breakthroughs that come to you at Passover. Well, I'm really encouraged. We are sending on Monday the application to the government, what is technically called the I-129 forms that the government has to review, as we're asking we're asking for permission for the Korshins to come to America to be able to work here in the congregation. It's a multi-step process. It's taken about 40 hours of my time preparing these documents. It's an amazing headache. And the checks that we have to make out for the fees are to the Department of Homeland Security. So, you know, they need to know these are kosher people and everything is good, and so we've gone through that process, and on Monday we send them in, and they'll be processed. And normally, it takes about 45 days for them to get processed so that then the visa can be issued. The visa has to be issued in Kiev, Ukraine, at the American Embassy there, And so that's a second part. And only after the visa is issued can we get the airline tickets for the Korshans to come here. So you see the steps? Well, I actually am praying that we will have an extraordinary amount of favor on us, and that we'll submit these papers, and that we'll get an approval in a remarkable period of time so that the Korshans can actually be here by February 15th or the first week in March at the latest. That's my prayer. That's all part of Kadima 2014, and I want to ask you to pray with me to that end. Would you do that? Lord, I thank you for this new year, and I thank you that you've called us to move forward. I thank you that you put a word in our hearts, Kadima 2014, that we should spend a year moving forward. And we want to see, Lord, in the next few months, we want to see the Korshans here. We want to see the cafe completed. We want to see our congregation moving forward in fellowship, in discipleship, and in outreach. We want to see so much happen, and we want to see progress, healings, breakthroughs, promotions, blessings of every kind. Lord, I pray for favor on these papers as they go out for our government to process them, and I pray that the ones who look at them would recognize that this is something good. They'd say yes, and they'd be quick, even speedy, in giving their approval. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So I'll tell you the good news when it comes. So let's stand, and we'll close with Aaron's blessing. If you are by yourself, I encourage you to move so that you're standing with somebody else. Thank you, Chris, for joining me. Chris always makes sure I'm not alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom and Happy New Year.